Welcome back to this 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we're going we're here already. It's Los Angeles, California. And we're going to speak with a phenomenal person who started off as an actress, started coaching actors on set, now teaches acting, and a lot more. She has a book on Amazon. It's called Auditioning, What They Say When You Leave the Room. And she claims this book will change the way you audition forever. Her name is Mary McCusker, and I cannot wait to interview her. So why don't we just give her a call, and let's see what she has to offer you. And here we go.
Good morning.
Hey, it's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
I'm very good.
So I'm on your internet movie database page, and when you were an actress, and you worked on so many shows that I used to actually watch. I'm going to talk about some shows very briefly, and I want to talk about the celebrities. Policewoman, Angie Dickinson. How was she in real life?
That's so funny. Angie Dickinson, the story I tell about that is that was my very, very, very first acting job. I had 14 lines. She was an undercover cop going into a hospital, and I was one of the nurses that worked there. So I'm petite, I'm 5'2", and they put me in a size 10 nurse's outfit that were pants and a shirt. So I was just this little bag that walked along. And Angie Dickinson, as the undercover cop, was in a mini skirt nurse's outfit that was in tight. And she had her legs insured, apparently, back in the day, because she had incredible legs. It was just very funny, the two of us beside each other.
Another show, Ricky Schroeder, Silver Spoons, but Pierce Bronson with Remington Steele, how was he?
Yeah, he was cool. He was very cool. He was a heartthrob. He came on the set and you were duly impressed.
Yeah, that was awesome. Highway to Heaven, Michael Landon, I bet that was amazing to be around him.
You really did your research. That was a reoccurring role. I played Victor French's sister in that. My funny story about that audition is that the character, Leslie, was to be very shy and very intimidated and nervous. And so I went in somewhat in character, but then as soon as I started the script, I really went into this character. So after the casting person read me, she said, "Oh my God, you're it. I have to go get Michael. Stay here." So she gets Michael and he comes in and he's in a wife beater shirt. He used to spray tan himself and do his own hair and everything in those days. And so he came in and I couldn't make eye contact with him. And I said, it's really nice to meet your arms. He just burst out laughing and he loved it. And he hired me on the spot. His deal with NBC was he didn't have to go to network to get approval. If he wanted someone, he cast them. He was just cool.
So Turner and Hooch, Tom Hanks. Did you actually meet Tom Hanks?
Oh, yes. I was Tom Hanks's girlfriend. So I worked in the police department. I was Katie, the dispatcher. It was 3 weeks work, and I still get great residuals from it. I mean, seriously, it bought my health insurance for a long time. I walked in the trailer for hair and makeup, and Tom Hanks came in, and he said, turned to the makeup person, he said, "Oh, thank God they cut the party scene. I'm so glad." I was sitting there, and that was my big scene with him. That was our scene where I had thrown the party, but he was telling me that we were going to break up. Anyway, that was cut. He just was a generous, upbeat, fun, everything you see him to be.
So, wrapping up with Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon on The Client. And that's kind of where everything changed for you, right?
Really do your homework. Yes, I switched careers. I had worked with Joel Schumacher, the director, twice as an actress. I loved him. I just got a call from him, 3 days notice, to fly to Memphis to coach the boy who was the lead on The Client, who had never acted before, Brad Renfro. He was 11 years old. That was an amazing experience, and I became his coach for his next 3 movies. He became a star. That switched my career because the phone started ringing off the hook for me to coach young actors.
So how does that work? Do you work with them not even on the set, or do you work with them in the dressing room, or as they're filming, you're kind of like the co-director, or you do all 3?
So I meet with the director in pre-production, and we talk about the project and whatever concerns they have with any of the actors, because I started out working with kids, but then it moved to adults, it moved to models, it moved to actors who hadn't a great deal of experience. One of the last feature films I did was Big Miracle with Drew Barrymore and John Krasinski, and they were Inupiaq Native Alaskan men. To the whole story, and two of them had the leads and had a lot of dialogue. I meet with the director, hear the concerns, and where I'm needed for support. My job is all about saving time. So then I will work in rehearsal privately with them under the direction of the director. If it's a brand new actor, it's about hitting marks and where the camera is and how not to look in the camera, stay focused on the actor, blah, 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 blah. Lots of basics. And then confidence building and drilling it to a point where they feel really good. Making choices, but also being flexible with the choices, because everything always changes on the set. Always. It's never the same as you rehearse it in a room or even in the audition, which is part of the reason I wrote the book, is that I really wanted to dispel the myth of who the people are in the room when you go in the room, because I've been a part of reading with the actors when they're hiring. I've gotten to see another perspective. And so I actually wrote this book, auditioning what they say when you leave the room, for actors to hear what all these directors and casting people do say when you leave the room. What are they really looking for in that first interview, that second interview, the callback, the screen test, how they make the final decision?
It's great because you did the acting, then you coach actors. But if you go back to your training, I mean, you trained with Strasberg. A lot of people say, oh, I know the Meisner technique, but you actually studied with Stanford Meisner himself. Acting is telling the truth under imaginary circumstances. I love that.
I loved him as a teacher. He was an incredible taskmaster. I was very young when I studied with him for 2 years, but it set the foundation for my work because it was all about listening and going moment to moment and don't jump ahead. So part of going into an audition, I think part of what the actor can change in their framework is rather going in with the focus of, I need this job. I'm not as memorized as I should be. I don't like the way my hair looks today. I'm nervous. What am I going to do with this ear? We have all these things that go on in our brains as we walk in. And as Stephen Tobolowsky says in the book, he's one of the actors, he said, your only obligation is to go into the audition and honor the character for the time that you've been given. And Todd Holland, who was one of the creators of Malcolm in the Middle, says, you know, the most important thing is for you to protect your joy. So you come to auditioning, to acting, because you love to act. You love the process. So if you put your homework in and really work on it and really create a character that you want to show and get to perform today, that's your only job, is to go in. So Joey Pantoliano says in his interview, he says, I walk in that room and I know they're all judging me, but they're doing their job. That's their job, to judge me. That's not my job. My job is just to do the character and show what I've got. And that changing that mindset, and I say that all the time to actors, what you focus on, what you concentrate, is where you're going to go. You don't want your focus to be split with, oh, that the casting person just picked up the phone, or the casting person is eating while I'm reading. Because when you go on the set, there's all activity on the set. You know, people calm down when it gets close to shooting. The focus on the set is challenging. The wardrobe is coming in and checking your clothes. They're checking your makeup and hair. The sound guy is checking the mic. There's so many things where you can get pulled off your focus. So treat the audition the same way. It's okay, everybody do their thing, which is to stare at me and wonder if I'm right for the role or not. Here's the other thing. Every single director says, we want you to be good. If we have 3 people at the end of a day that are really good for the part, we've had a great day. So everybody is sort of rooting for you. Casting wants you to make them look good. They want you to do well. They're on your side.
I interview a lot of young people, and I've been doing the show for 2 years, so I love watching their transformation. I notice that their self-esteem, their confidence, and they kind of find their own voice. And some of them tell me, I don't put it on the show, but they always sometimes tell me that there is a little traumatic experience has happened to them and they poured themselves into acting. And you have a similar situation because you lost your mom at 16. And didn't you do the same thing that helped you cope by you threw yourself into acting at that point?
I did. Well, it was circumstance or fate or God or intervention or something. But yeah, I went to high school at Mount St. Joseph Academy and they started a theater program in my junior year, the year my mother died. And I actually was lost. I thought I wanted to be a secretary because my older sister had so many clothes and I was feeling them all the time. And I thought that's what I want to do. But when the theater program came in, she started it with improvisation, which has become my absolute passion. I teach improv at Loyola Marymount University. I'm a professor there. Improv is my passion. It fits in with Meisner too, because the repetition exercise is improvisational. Yeah, so then they, for the final play for the school school year, it was Glass Menagerie, and I got to play Laura. That role, I was able to funnel all the grief and fragility that I felt internally and pour it into a role. So, yeah, that was it. That was the beginning for me.
It's like a coping mechanism, it seems like. So you're talking about improv. How important is improv? Is that essential for commercial acting?
One of the women that I interview, she's a casting director and an actress, Susan Deming, she feels it's imperative. And Phaedra Harris, another casting director, said that she adores improvisational actors because they know the meaning of being in the moment and being present. So when somebody says, do it this way or try this, sure, they're open, they're game, because that's what improv is about. I think it's an invaluable life skill as a person. I mean, you and I are improvising right now. We're just staying present.
I want to ask you about demo reels. I think you provide that service. I think I'm going to be hiring you.
Okay, I do provide the service. I work with Studio 24, and I coach and direct.
I'm definitely going to do that, because no matter what it costs, if it gets you a job, you get that, then you get the residual, then you get another residual. So whatever you charge for that, you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars in return.
Exactly. It's an investment. You're creating your brand now. What are you now? So now I'm coaching people on Zoom, and I'm coaching because of the pandemic, but also all of these casting people say self-tapes are here to stay. Casting loves it because they can see you and decide if you're right and then bring you in. This pandemic, you know, we're going to get the vaccine, things will change by summer, but we have been altered. The business has been altered by it. And this is a great way for actors to put their best take on camera. And then if they're right for the role, to be called in. No schlepping all over Los Angeles in horrible traffic. If you're right for it, when you go in, based on your tape, so you have to do your tape right. And you really should work with a coach. If not, you should work with a fellow actor who's a really good reader. And you've got to get your backdrop right and your camera right and your tripod, everything. And put down the best take and send it in. So here's the other tip that I got from casting people in this book, is they have said, you can put two takes down so we can see a contrast. Now, so you could do the scene and then do one slightly altered that's a little broader or a little more straight or just nuanced so that they can say, okay, that becomes a concern too, is that there's a great take and then now what they're doing is the casting director will give you a callback on Zoom. So you'll do a Zoom on callback and they will test you.
That's great. It's like COVID has changed everything. A lot of people I interview, they're like, wow, it sucks. But you know what? All this downtime, I wrote a screenplay. I wrote a book. I got all my stuff done because everyone's working and hustling. They have no downtime. And so many people have produced so much stuff. So the name of your book is called Auditioning, What They Say When You Leave the Room. What do they say when you leave the room?
What do they say? They say they want to see confidence. They want you to come in, do your work, and leave. And yes, they will talk about you, but you have no control over what they'll say about you. And when you change, the reason I say this book will change your audition for the better is when you change your attitude about giving your power away in the room, there's no power to give away. You just come in and show the pair of shoes that you're selling. If you like them, I'm going to leave them here for you to think about. Thank you. Bye. And I actually believe a couple of people said it, but I also knew it from my own acting coaches back in the day, is to leave and have something equally fun to do. This is just one part of your day. And also, you got to perform today. You got to invest in a character, and how it pans out, you don't have control over, really.
Where can people go to find out more information about you online?
Well, they can go to MaryMcCuskerActingStudio.com.
I'll put a link in the description for that so they can just click on it and go right there.
That's awesome. I have excerpts of the on YouTube of the book. I videotaped every single interview. So on YouTube, I have Auditioning What They Say, 2-minute, 3-minute clips from the book with all of the directors and casting people. And that's really worth seeing.
Mary, thank you so much for being on my show. I super, super appreciate it. Sometimes when I do research, I'm like, what's the hook? And I have to come up with something. With you, I had to omit stuff because there was just so much about you. And I got excited researching you after interviewing you. I'm actually going to hire you to do that demo reel 100%. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure, Johnny. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Auditioning, What They Say When You Leave the Room, best-selling book on Amazon. On the internet, MaryMcCusterActingStudio.com, MCCUSKER, is how you spell her last name. Mary just took us all to school in under 14 minutes. Amazing. I cannot wait to hire her as my new acting coach. And if you have a self-tape audition, but you don't know how to do it or can't do it, and you live in Los Angeles, I have the lights, I have the backdrop. You just bring you and your camera and you'll leave with your audition. Actors2020podcast@gmail.com if you need help. It's absolutely free, just like this podcast. And remember, wherever you're listening to this podcast, be sure to leave us a comment or review. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, for Actors2020podcast.com. Until the next episode, bye-bye.